Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hey, friends, and welcome, welcome wherever you are, whether you're in the carpool pickup line, or if you're listening at work, or if you're at home, or out on a walk, whatever you're doing, I pray that the Lord will bless your day as you go, and I'm grateful that you're here to spend a little time with us. Today, I am going to talk to you. It's just me. It's all me today, but there's something on my heart and on my mind that I wanted to really have a conversation about and to equip parents to deal with this issue that just seems like it is not going away. And as much as I hope that it would, it is not. And that issue is vaping. Now, I'm going to be sharing with you from my book, which is called Behind Closed Doors, A Guide to Help Parents and Teens Navigate Through Life's Toughest Issues. And one of the topics that I talk about in the book is vaping. Now, when I wrote this book, I wrote about what I saw as the top 12 issues that we're facing kids and families today, specifically teenagers, although it's never too early to start conversations for prevention. And vaping is in the front half of the book. It is chapter 5, and the subtitle is How to Recognize the Health Threat You Never Saw Coming. And this is something that I see in practice quite a bit. I have 4 kids that are teenagers and young adults, and they tell me about seeing this all the time. They have all seen kids vaping in the bathroom and even in the classroom through the drawstrings on their hoodies. Did you know that there was fashion even to accommodate concealing vaping? So this is something, it is impacting teen health. There is no substance that is safe for a developing teen brain. And what I see each week, even on my own community newsletter, are reports of teens being arrested or criminally charged with possession of vaping paraphernalia. And I'll tell you, this always hits families like a freight train. They just feel like, I never saw this coming. I didn't realize the criminal implications of this. And so I really want to just have a talk with you about it. You may have had some questions thinking, what is it? Is it bad? Is it okay? Is it as bad as I'm hearing? Like, should I be really worried about this? And so I'm just going to share with you some of my experience and what I have learned about this as it has emerged. Now, it's hard for me to imagine, but when I first started in pediatrics, vaping really did not exist. I mean, we were looking at things that were so different. And I think about how much the world has changed in those 25 years. When I first started in pediatrics, I hardly ever saw any mental health concerns. Of course, we did see those, but they were not the norm. And we didn't have social media. We didn't have cyberbullying. We didn't have smartphones. We didn't have vaping. There were just so many things that have changed. We didn't have sexting and just all of these health threats that are really avalanching over our kids today. So in the book, I share some of my clinical stories, and I'm going to share the one with you today that I wrote about. Here is how it goes. He was one of the best nursing students I had ever taught in pediatrics. He was always on time. He was prepared, friendly, yet respectful, eager to learn. He even ironed his scrubs, creating a crisp crease right down the front of his pant legs. His badge was perfectly placed on his scrub top pocket with a smiling picture reflecting the smiling face above it. His last question to me each day was, "What can I do tonight to better prepare for tomorrow?" The children loved him. The parents welcomed him, and the staff appreciated him. On the last day, as other students said their goodbyes at an informal party in our conference room, he lingered. A shadow crept across his demeanor, and for the first time in 6 weeks, hesitancy slumped across his shoulders. His hands fidgeted nervously as he took too long to collect his things, and I pretended not to notice, and I said goodbye as I walked the others out. I turned back, instinctively knowing that he would be waiting for me. He couldn't look me in the eye. I sat across the table, and I waited patiently. He hesitantly asked for a letter of reference, which was common when students near graduation, and this student had well-earned one. But tears welled as he shared with a broken spirit that he needed it for the Board of Nursing to appeal for his nursing license. He disclosed an underage criminal conviction for possession of vaping paraphernalia with marijuana. Now, even though it was a misdemeanor, if it was not expunged or sealed, it could impede or even prohibit his obtaining a nursing license, depending on the circumstances. And there are ways to successfully navigate appeals, and many do, but it's stressful and humiliating, and there are no guarantees. And in that moment, I will never forget the way he could not escape the sea of regret threatening to drown his career aspirations. That was a real story, and vaping is a major concern that I see in children today. And when I was writing this book, my editor said, why don't you just put vaping in the substance abuse chapter? Because I do have a chapter specifically about substances, talking about marijuana and things like cocaine and heroin and fentanyl. And I really said, no, I feel strongly that this is something that kids see very differently from that. I mean, we are talking a world of difference between e-cigarette and heroin, right? And actually, not too long after that, one of my editors called me and told me of a child who had, and I say a child, it was a teenager, they are children, who had been stopped by the police at their Wednesday night Bible study, police who were providing security at the event, and they're obligated to act. It is happening. Everyone knows the dangers of smoking, but of course, it hasn't always been that way. It actually wasn't until 1964 that the U.S. Surgeon General issued the first official report linking cigarette use with lung cancer. This was 1964. Even so, smoking continued to be accepted for decades. My daughters recently watched a rerun. They saw one rerun of America's Next Top Model, and they were incredulous to see. This was from 2003. They saw incessant smoking indoors, and they asked if that was staged for television because they couldn't believe that they were smoking like that. And it wasn't until 2009 that the Food and Drug Administration began regulating tobacco products and restricting the marketing and advertising of cigarettes. It wasn't until 2012, that was after the iPad was invented, that the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention launched its first ever paid national tobacco education campaign. That was around the same time individual states started banning smoking in public buildings. And I think even, you know, I think back to when my kids were young and you'd go to a restaurant and you'd request the non-smoking section, which really kind of is a concept that doesn't exist now. But cigarettes are still the leading cause of preventable death, and they kill nearly 8 million people every year. Now, my great-grandmother, heartbreakingly, she succumbed in her early 70s to emphysema from smoking. So I've seen this firsthand. And teens today, they really do know that smoking is bad for your health. And in fact, young adult smoking rates are at a historic low, with less than 5% of high school students smoking cigarettes. And that is actually continuing to decrease. However, they do not, I repeat, do not consider vaping or using the many other forms of tobacco or nicotine products on the market to be a form of smoking. Most teens don't know that vaping liquids are delivering nicotine. They don't see it as a nicotine product. 20% of young adults think vaping is harmless. It's just water. And nearly half believe it is a healthy alternative to smoking. So that means when you talk to your kids about smoking, they don't see it as the same thing. You need to talk about e-cigs and disposables and vape juice and Juuls and pod refills and hookahs and puff bars. Oh wait, did I lose you? Hang in there. We're going to dive in. So let me give you just some basic explanations here. Vaping is using an electronic cigarette, also called an e-cig. Now, vaping was widely introduced in 2003, but its popularity began to climb exponentially among American youth in 2014. Now, actually, vaping has been around for quite a long time, but it was popularized around the turn of the century, which I know makes me feel old to think about, but by a pharmacist in China, actually, whose dad died of lung cancer, and he was on a quest to create a healthier alternative. Although you can research it back a lot further. But my first awareness of this came as a nursing instructor. I was on a labor and delivery unit, and a colleague rounded the corner to find a student at the nurse's station, e-cig in hand, and a vape cloud billowing into the hallway of the labor and delivery unit as she casually read through a chart. And my colleague said incredulously, "Smoking is not allowed in clinical." And the student replied equally as incredulously, "I'm not smoking." And vaping was harmless, and it wasn't even a violation of the student handbook, which they pointed out just said smoking. But again, by 2020, we have almost a third of high school students reporting trying a tobacco product. I mean, this is happening, and those numbers are exponentially increasing. Now, an e-cig is also called a vape device. It's an electronic device with an atomizer, a battery, another power source, something to hold liquid, a cartridge, or a tank, and vapor is inhaled from that device. So other forms of smokeless tobacco include dip or hookah, which is a water pipe with a smoke chamber, or nicotine dissolvables. I see a lot of these nicotine dissolvables. They're called lozenges or strips or sticks, or they're constantly, the terminology is evolving and emerging, but these just seem like a breath mint. They look very harmless. And then there's Juul pods. That is an e-cig that really looks like a flash drive. So from this point on, I'll just address vaping generally, but listen, there is a lot of specialty involved here. And e-cigs, although they're advertised as safe alternatives for adult smokers. Okay, that's something to really know about, is even there's a conversation to be had about adults, but I'm not talking about adults today. I'm talking about teens who have never used nicotine before. So, but they are marketed to young people. So some of the vape juice flavors are gummy bear, cotton candy, waffles, unicorn milk. I mean, those are appealing to kids. So in February 2020, a nationwide ban went into effect on flavored vape juice, although some fruit and mint and menthol flavorings are still legal. The ban only covered cartridges or pods, and so flavors for all other devices remained on the market. And that made them wildly popular because teens prefer flavors and they prefer cheaper. And it's surprisingly easy for them to get it. More than 3/4 of underage Juul users report getting the device at a physical store. Half of them get them from a friend. Now, this is where we have a very important point, parents, because a lot of parents think, well, my kid would never vape. My kid would never, right? Which we should all never think that, because kids are kids and they are human and they can make mistakes. But a lot of these products look harmless. They look like key fobs. They look like flash drives. They look like lipsticks. They look like lozenges. They look like, you know, breath mints. And so sometimes when kids say, "Hey, hold this for me," and then all of a sudden your kid's locker is searched or their backpack is searched and they're found with these things on their person, that can be a scary thing. So again, this is why it's important to talk about it, because the truth is they're not really harmful. E-cigs can contain harmful chemicals like formaldehyde and heavy metals and benzene and lead and nickel and paint thinner, or volatile organic compounds in addition to nicotine. So again, they're thinking vaping, that just is vapor. That's just water. Throw in flavor and we're talking about flavored water, right? Like thinking about this as coffee or using little flavoring drops in your water. It's not a far stretch for teens to see that as similar. When we come back, I'll talk about their impacts on developing teen brains and some of the health risks and how to talk to your kids about it. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Why is our society so ravenous to abort babies? According to a former Satanist, the demonic forces have a bloodlust for the innocents and sickly believe their blood sacrifice empowers evil. Make no mistake, we are fighting a spiritual battle as we protect the most innocent among us, babies in their mother's womb. Preborn stands on the front lines of this battle, and their network of clinics are positioned in the highest abortion areas, often next to abortion mills where unspeakable evil takes place every day. Preborn offers God's love and life to protect hurting women and precious preborn babies. And every time a baby is saved, which happens 200 times a day, good conquers evil. Please make your most generous gift to empower good and rescue precious souls. For just $28, you can sponsor an ultrasound that doubles a baby's chance at life. To donate securely, dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
You're listening to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show with Dr. Jessica Peck on American Family Radio.
Well, hey, friends, and welcome back. We are having a heart-to-heart about something that is really impacting a lot of kids today. Either your kids have tried it or known someone who's tried it or heard somebody talk about it. We're talking about vaping. We're talking about electronic cigarettes. Now, again, I talked before about how it's important to say there's an ongoing debate, if you're just now joining us, about the benefits of vaping and helping adults stop smoking by transitioning from cigarettes they're already using to e-cigs. But this is a completely different conversation for teens who are tobacco-free and nicotine-free, and that is really the only healthy choice for still developing teen brains. So we are talking about what it is. I've talked to you about e-cigs. Let's talk about juuling. Now, that's J-U-U-L-I-N-G. It's pronounced juuling. This is a more potent form of vaping. And when we look at that, we can see, again, a challenge for all of these is that e-cigs are easy to conceal. They are very discreet. They mimic everyday household objects like cell phones, car fobs, lipsticks, remote controls, even asthma inhalers. And like I said at the beginning, hoodies are even specially made to deliver vapes through the drawstrings. You can find these easily online. And most students don't realize that these seemingly harmless looking items are in fact illegal for minors. And that can be very traumatizing. Now, what we see is kids will always take things to the next level or the next limit. And so another thing that we see is something called dripping. And instead of inhaling straight from the mouthpiece of a vaping device, vaping liquid is dripped directly onto the battery-powered coil. Now, imagine taking the plastic cover off your hairdryer and dripping something like essential oils directly onto the coil so that you can inhale the vapor. Dripping heats a liquid to a higher temperature, and it makes bigger vape clouds, and it gives them what they call a stronger hit. Now, believe it or not, there's actually a real event called the Vape Olympics. Internet search if you dare. I mean, honestly, I will tell you, it will probably traumatize your eyes, but you will see worldwide cloud chasing competitions with crazy vaping tricks that will shock most adults, but will impress a lot of teenagers. And what we see is that student e-cig use is linked to marijuana use, and e-cigs can deliver CBD or other marijuana forms. And in some research that I've seen, more than 20% of high schoolers report vaping marijuana. And we also know that vaping marijuana increases the risk of using or experimenting with other drugs. Now, one of the things that we're really concerned about is in 2019, a new and potentially fatal disease, it was new at the time, called EVALI was talked about. Now, this is e-cigarette or vaping product use associated lung injury, EVALI, and it was identified by healthcare providers. All 50 states reported at least one case of EVALI, and most of them actually weren't associated with nicotine vaping, but with THC, which is a psychoactive component of marijuana. And also vitamin E oil additives seemed at the time to be the leading culprit of EVALI lung disease. Now, this can be confusing for kids too, because vitamin E sounds very healthy, right? Like, how is the vitamin E oil harmful? Well, it's not meant to be inhaled. And actually, just last July, not even a year ago, the American College of Cardiology issued some new guidelines warning about the dangers of vaping in young people. And they saw increased heart rate, increased blood pressure, and it changes the ability of the blood vessels to relax. So that's something that's concerning, where we're seeing cardiology impacts. And kids under the age of 25 are more likely to struggle with addiction, because adolescent brains respond to new experiences in more powerful ways than adults. Teens are going to naturally feel invincible. This is how they're developmentally wired. They think, bad things, I know bad things happen. Of course bad things happen, but they don't happen to me. And that's developmentally normal for them to feel that way. Because the prefrontal cortex, the area of the brain responsible for emotional regulation and impulse control, it doesn't fully develop until the mid-20s, and it challenges sound decision-making, and it makes them susceptible to peer pressure. And also, this is, I want you to hang in there with me a minute. So those of you who really get into brain science and nerd out, you're going to love this. The rest of you, don't go away. It's just going to last a minute or so. Nicotine actually changes the way connections are built in developing adolescent brains. So in a very brief and simplistic explanation, nicotine literally changes your brain. Nicotine activates receptors that release dopamine. Of course, we all know that's a chemical that makes us feel good and experience pleasure. It's an instant hit. It takes about 8 to 20 seconds to inhale that vapor from their mouth to it to hit those receptors in their brain. And as it continues over time, the number of nicotine receptors in your brain, it increases by billions. So the more you give your brain, the more it wants. The more receptors you develop, the harder it is to quit, because all of those billions, literally with a B, billions of receptors in your brain are screaming, craving a nicotine connection. It's why it's so hard to quit. And withdrawal from that causes anxiety, irritability. It gives you trouble sleeping and eating. And the fastest way to feel better is to ingest nicotine, to have a dopamine release to satisfy those receptors. Now, nicotine does decrease attention. It decreases memory. It decreases impulse control. And it does increase the risk of abusing other substances and depression and anxiety. This is why, parents, it's so important to intervene early, because the earlier that you intervene, the earlier that you quit, the fewer receptors your brain has made, and the number of those receptors eventually return to normal or near normal, and the cravings fade if you quit early. Now, another thing to know about nicotine is that it's extremely toxic when it is taken orally or ingested through the skin. So if you're changing out a cartridge or something like that, a small amount can be fatal for a child or a family pet. It can be absorbed through the mouth without swallowing or simply by touching it. And I have seen this. I have personally cared for young toddlers who have been severely ill after being exposed to liquid nicotine. And we do see reportings of poisoning events related to accidental nicotine ingestion increasing dramatically. Now, early signs of toxicity can be nausea, vomiting, shortness of breath, wheezing, agitation. And sometimes what happens is I see kids with those symptoms and they come in and they're not even connecting it to vaping. And that's a connection that we are making, and it's way down the road. So if you suspect that your teen is vaping, you can look for certain side effects. You can look for things like dry mouth, a cough, a sore throat, a headache, weight fluctuations, sleepiness, nausea, and vomiting. Vaping also decreases learning memory, and it negatively impacts school performance. So like I said, withdrawal, you'll see sweating, stomach cramping, difficulty concentrating, agitation, irritability, anxiety, and depression. Now, again, this is not meant to be specific health advice. You should always talk to your individual healthcare provider about your specific concerns and needs and situation, because everybody is different. But according to federal law, you have to be 21 to purchase e-cigarettes. But if teens don't think vaping is harmful, they'll do it even if it's illegal. I mean, we see this in drinking. Almost every week, again, in my local school districts, the police report teens being charged for possession of vaping devices. And I've seen teens who are prohibited from participating in extracurricular activities. I've seen teens expelled. And the severity of that police involvement in criminality is just a shock to students and to parents. And as I told you in the story at the top of the show, it can further impact your high school graduation or college implications. So even if you think your teen would never vape, it's so important to talk about it. And parents, I think you should have conversations with them starting about 8 to 10 years old or earlier if they see it. Now, they don't need to know every single gory detail, but they just need to know the basics of what it is and that it's not healthy for you, that it can be harmful. And tell me if you see it and we'll talk about it. And equip them to be aware of and responsive to situations where they could be unknowingly implicated. And, you know, again, many parents think talking about these things with teens may make it more alluring or may give them ideas, but really knowledge is power. The more you empower your teen with advanced decision planning to act, the more confidently they can navigate the situation. So I want you to imagine if your teen walks into a bathroom and they've never heard of vaping, they have no idea what it is, and they see kids engaged with vaping or oral products like lozenges or strips or sticks, and they say, "What is that?" They're going to rely on that teenager presenting them with this option in the moment for information. And it's very difficult for their brain to move that fast and to think, is this harmful? Is it not? Do I trust this person? What is their social capital? What's going to happen if I say no? What's going to happen if I look like I don't know what this is? I don't want to look uncool. Okay, well, you just say it's gum. Or maybe they say it's gum because they think it's funny that your kid doesn't know. But if your kid walks in and you have told them, this is what these can look like and here's what you should do if you encounter it, they can say, yeah, I know what that is. That's not for me. And walk straight out and tell an adult about it, feeling empowered to act, not having to navigate all of those complicated thoughts in the moment. Now, I'll tell you kind of a funny story. Well, it is a funny story. When e-cigs first emerged, I was walking through a mall and I saw a kiosk selling vaping device. And I made the mistake of showing a tiny hint of curiosity. Like, I had a millisecond of eye contact. You all know how that goes. There was blood in the water. The salesman came after me. And the first thing I noticed was his perfectly styled designer clothes and his Rolex watch, which was probably a Rolex, I'm pretty sure. But he had an air of confidence and charisma I found about as appealing as a 13-year-old drenched in Axe. But I could see how teens would want to emulate his feelings of self-assuredness. And it was an attractive and charismatic guy. He touched my arm. He encircled my wrist and brought my hand to his heart, looked me right in the eyes, and with all of this smolder he could muster, he said, "Do you vape?" honestly, I was horrified. I was a grown woman, a mother of four. I had a doctoral degree, and all I could say was like, no. He didn't miss a beat, but he moved in closer. He encircled my wrist tighter and said in a very Dos Equis, like most interesting man in the world kind of way, "Do you want to start?" That was how he said it to me. I still remember the cold chills running from the base of my neck all the way down to my feet. And I jerked my wrist away with a self-defense move I had learned from a police officer at a mom's club. Okay, this was not my finest moment, but it stuck with me as I witnessed in a very powerful way what our kids are up against. And I'm thinking about their friends offering them this. So it is definitely a tough thing. So what do? If you find out that your teen is vaping, well, if you discover your teen is using e-cigarettes or other tobacco, you have to stay calm. I know that's easier said than done, but our reaction as parents goes from 0 to 60 in nanoseconds, and it comes from a place of protection. We aren't truly angry at our kids. We're angry that something has threatened to derail their future. We need to direct that protective spirit, but not as anger at the heart of our children. We can't lead with statements like, "How could you do this?" or "What were you thinking?" because I've already told you about how their brain works, and the truth is they weren't thinking. We can't lead with a litany of meaningless punishments like, "You're grounded for life. Your life as you know it is over." Honestly, those are just not helpful in this moment. And I'm not saying that there shouldn't be consequences, but discipline should never, in any circumstance, be delivered from a place of anger. I'm not saying that we can't be angry, because we are angry as parents, but we cannot deliver discipline in that. And if you need to train yourself to walk away in that moment and just say, "I need a minute. I just need a minute," then do that, because how you react in this moment shapes your child's self-image, their behavior, and their future willingness to share openly with you. Now, if you discover that your teen is vaping, I would recommend that you immediately schedule an appointment with your healthcare provider for evaluation and connection to resources or services, because vaping is detrimental to their physical health and they need to have their lungs checked. If your teen experiences legal consequences, consult with your trusted healthcare provider and seek legal advice. This is traumatic, and honestly, counseling can be really helpful. When teens have adverse childhood experiences, depression and anxiety are common. Reassure them this is a normal way for their body to respond to stress, and we should remove any stigma from seeking help. It's so important to have early intervention to build resilience and show them a path for recovery, a grace-filled recovery, and improve the outcome of their long-term mental health. When we come back, I'm going to talk about prevention and other ways that you can talk to your kids about this. And we'll have some devotional time and prayer where we take care of our hearts, because parents, let's say it's hard. It is hard to be a parent in this century, but you are not alone. And I'll be right back.
Podcasts of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Dr. Jessica Peck on American Family Radio.
Well, hey, friends, and welcome back. We are having a talk today about vaping. I know, not really a fun topic, but something that is really important and something that is absolutely impacting our teens today. The statistics are sobering and they are just going up. We know that more than a third of kids in high school will try vaping, because we talked in the first few segments about how it just doesn't seem very harmful. And that can be really, really difficult there. It is normalized in our culture, and that can be really, really hard. I talked to you before about how the first e-cig prototype being around for a long time, it was actually made in the 1930s. Can you believe that? And there was a man named Herbert Gilbert, a businessman who was actually a Korean War veteran and a two-pack-a-day smoker who worked in his father's scrapyard in Pennsylvania. He's generally considered the inventor of the modern e-cig. It was patented, but actually not produced or marketed. And the word vape came in 1979 from research done by a computer pioneer in conjunction with his personal physician. How about that? It brings to mind shows like I Love Lucy and physicians doing advertisements for the healthiest kind of cigarette. But as I shared with you, the modern e-cig is generally attributed to a pharmacist from China who wanted a healthier alternative to smoking after his dad died from lung cancer attributed to smoking. And as I told you, 1 in 3 kids in high school will try vaping. That means all of you out there listening, about 1 in 3 of you could be impacted by this issue. And that is why we really have to talk about it. And before that moment comes, giving some thought and making a plan, we need to cultivate a position of empathy when our kids access these health threats. And they can be really difficult. But prevention is really best, and it requires proactive conversation. So instead of interrogation, ask genuine questions using curiosity as an initial approach. We can't come across as an expert with newly acquired knowledge. Flip that narrative and invite them on a co-learning journey. Teens actually crave active listening and the chance to speak freely without the constraints of weighing words through the lens of their peers. Now, what do I mean by that? When they're talking to us, a lot of times we think, oh my goodness, you would never talk to your friends that way. Yeah, because they don't feel nearly as safe with their friends as they do with us. Now, that doesn't excuse disrespectful conversation or communication, but in the back of your mind, you can tuck that away as a sign that your child may feel more safe with you to express their concerns and their opinions. Again, the example that I gave you earlier of a teen walking into a bathroom and seeing vaping, they're automatically trying to filter their response and think, what do I say that doesn't make me sound like I don't know what's going on? Because then I'm going to lose my sense of power and control, and then I'm going to feel unsafe. But for kids, us talking with them, we just give them a whole different kind of listening experience. And our teens might be able to tell us how they experience vaping, how they've seen it or not seen it, or even how it works, but they might genuinely not know how dangerous it can be. So putting our kids in the position of looking up things is great. I love doing this. Maybe that just comes from my bias of being a professor, but I love assigning my kids a report because it can help me guide them to see what kinds of information sources are they using? Where are they going to look up information that is credible? And then they can come and teach me something, and it feels like they have some sort of ownership in that and some sort of agency, which is really important. So planning a conversation in advance, it avoids those feelings of urgency and anxiety when you discover something. So I tell my teens, you can use me as an out. Oh, my parents would freak out if I got anywhere near that. My parents would absolutely, you know, lose their mind. No, my parents would be so upset. Just tell them I gotta call my parents. You know, my mom's mad at me. She needs to pick me up. Whatever it is, I don't mind being their out. And giving them a code word is also really helpful that they can text you. This can be an actual word or it can just be an emoji, and it means come get me right now. I need an emergency exit. And you can go and get them and wait to ask questions until you get them, knowing that the priority is to remove them from that situation. But helping your teen come up with a response, what would they do if someone asked them to vape? that can help them to not feel so anxious in the situation. And it needs to be comfortable to their personality and appropriate for the situation. So I've got four kids. I guarantee you all four of my kids would respond very differently, just depending on their temperament and personality. And we shouldn't tell our teens, okay, well, if anyone ever asks you, you better say no. And just say, what would you say? How would you say no? How would you get out of that situation, and help them to come up with a plan that they feel like is theirs, that they own? That's really helpful. So here's some ideas of things that you can do together to initiate some conversation. You can create a script for how they would refuse if they were asked to try. You can practice with lighthearted role play or invite some friends over to make a video. It's okay to be silly. They may roll their eyes and protest, but the good thing is, as parents, we don't care. It gets the point across. There also is a website that you can visit. It's called powertotheparent.org. That's powertotheparent.org. And there are some simulated teen rooms that you can look at and see if you can identify the clues for potential substance abuse in a teen's room. So that may be a good quiz that you could take together. Now, if you know someone who is struggling with nicotine addiction and that person is willing to share their experience, you could visit them together and listen to their story, because personal stories are very powerful, and hearing from a trusted adult reinforces the messages coming from parents. You can also search for some news stories of teens who had EVALI. There are lots of children's hospitals that have video stories on their websites, and those are pretty easily found with an internet search. And so you can have your teen watch those or watch those together and talk about it. Now, after you complete one of these activities, you can initiate a conversation. If you're a regular listener of the show, you know how to love your teen. That's L-O-V-E. First, we're going to listen with our face. Say, thank you for being willing to engage in an awkward conversation with me. Tell them specifically what you enjoyed about talking to them. Giving specific praise is really powerful. So saying, I really liked the innovative or creative way that you thought about that. I really liked how your first thought was compassion for your peers. Tell them what you enjoyed about the experience. Tell them one thing you learned or observed about their thought process. Again, the more that you make this about them, the more you're going to have their attention. Teens want to be seen. They want to be loved. They want to be heard. They want to be known. And these are ways that you can do that, and offer a compliment about an attribute that you saw, that they're patient, that they're wise, whatever that may be. That's L, listening with your face. O is offer open-ended questions. So asking questions like, how do you and your friends feel about vaping? Why do you think so many teens find vaping appealing? And what kinds of situations have you seen your peers vaping? And how would you respond if someone asked you to try something? And how do you feel about being in that kind of situation? Does that make you feel anxious or afraid or unbothered? What else would you like to share with me? I love this question. You should back pocket that one for sure. What else would you like to share? What would you like to share? And a lot of times they'll say nothing, nothing else, but they come back. V is validate their feelings. Say, I'm sorry you experienced this. That must be hard. This is kind of scary. We'll get through this together. I understand your worry. I'm proud of you for expressing your convictions. That's a great way to go. And then E, explore next steps together. Encourage your teen to come to you with any questions. And if your teen has used e-cigarette products and not disclosed that, create an environment where they can tell you without fear of anger. They fear our anger more than they fear our consequences. And while mistakes have consequences, our love is unconditional. So again, if they disclose vaping, seek evaluation and advice from your healthcare provider to determine what would be the next steps. Maybe this is a tough subject because you think you or someone you love regularly uses some form of tobacco. Listen, every family situation is different. And the guidance here is meant for teens who have never used nicotine to help them stay healthy, because safer isn't the same thing as safe. And there are also very few program resources for young people. This Is Quitting by the Truth Initiative is actually the first. And prescription and nicotine aids aren't approved for teens, so they don't have as many resources to quit as adults do. And it's hard. It's really, really hard. I said previously that the implications are different for adults. There are no guilt trips here. It is very difficult biologically, physiologically, psychologically to quit. And so share your struggle with your teen if you can. Be open, be vulnerable, talk honestly about it. Teens respect our authenticity. Now, some of the most sacred moments in Scripture talk about breath, which is a word in the Bible equated with God's spirit. God created Adam's physical body, but his value came when God breathed into him the very breath of life. It was such a personal and direct act. God didn't command the wind to fill Adam's lungs. God animated him with his own breath and spirit. Scripture specifically notes the moment Jesus breathed his last. And in doing so, he gave up his spirit. Even more miraculously, a resurrected Jesus appeared to his disciples and he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Maybe that's why inhaling chemicals into our lungs is so addicting. We were created to be filled with the breath of God, but as humans often do, we exchange the truth of God for a lie and we worship creative things instead of our Creator. There is a really powerful story filled with mystery and drama in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, of the prophet in a valley of dry bones. It says, "But God breathed life into them and created an exceedingly great army," which was actually inspiration for Lauren Daigle's song, "Come Alive," if you happen to know that one. It's no wonder that David closed the book of Psalms with a call to let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So we reflect, what are our honest feelings about vaping? And how can you create a safe space for your teen to come to you comfortably? And as you talk to your teen about healthy choices, you have to think honestly, this is really tough, and I'm going to step on some toes, mine included. What unhealthy choices are in our life that need to be addressed? It may not be vaping or nicotine or tobacco or any of those products, but our kids see us and they know us, and it's very difficult for us to talk to them about healthy choices when we make unhealthy choices in our own lives. And that is why God gives us new mercies every single morning, because he knows that's how often we need them. That is really a difficult thing to do. And so I want to pray from James chapter 1, a prayer that I've taken from that passage of Scripture. God, you alone are the giver of life and every breath. We know every good and perfect gift comes from you, who never change. Thank you for the gift of life in our children. Help us to continually walk in your spirit with your strength. And we ask in faith for strength and wisdom to lead courageously, knowing you give generously with compassion. Help us to count it all joy when we face trials, knowing you are faithful to complete the work you started in us. Let us be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, breathing in the moment you've given us. Breathe strength and courage and wisdom into the life of our children. Amen. Now, at the end of each chapter, I challenge you to write a legacy letter. This is something that's really special and individualized to your children in a world where communication is digital and disposable. And if you're a little overwhelmed today, take a moment to just breathe, collect your thoughts, slow down, reflect, and listen. Write a letter to your teen using the following inspiration prompts. Describe the day they were born and how it felt to watch them take their first breath. What were your feelings, your hopes, and your dreams? And if you weren't there for their birth, tell them about the first time you met them, or about a time You were so impressed or moved by something they did, it took your breath away. Be encouraged, parents. You are not alone. We are praying for you. We are cheering for you. It is possible to raise kids in a world today who love God and want to serve their neighbors. And we'll keep on prescribing hope for healthy families right here. We will see you next time. Thanks for joining us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.